panel on the 5th of March 2020. This meeting has been called in accordance with Article 16 of the Officer Accountability Bylaw, which state that if an officer's performance is deemed unsatisfactory, the officer shall be called before the panel to justify why a vote of no confidence against the officer should not be referred to referendum.
On the 2nd of March, the Trustee Board for the UONSU released a statement announcing an extraordinary scrutiny panel on March the 5th after proposal changes of policy by President James Feasey for the titles of SU officers. This all came after changes to the democratic model were rejected in a referendum called by Feasey, and many students came forward to have their voices heard. We headed over to the meeting to try and get a better idea of the situation and to ask a few questions of our own.
Did you consider the implications of proposing both the Union Development Officer and Liberation Officer motions, despite the last being withdrawn by you, on students' perceptions of the SU?
Yeah, so the plan from the beginning was to ask students what they wanted from the referendum, then whichever choice they'd make, we'd then implement that system effectively. I've spoken openly about it to you before, that if the referendum passed, a large motion would have gone through DPC to implement that and enact and legislate that. If it didn't pass, an alternate set of smaller motions would go in to make our current system more effective. Due to the work that was required with the review itself, I only managed to produce the necessary bits of the motion, not the entire thing, to do the elections. So the rest of you affect DPC 4. And that was the one that was the motion to edit the current system that needed to go through that meeting. So that's why it was presented in isolation rather with the other fixes to make our current system more effective.
If you believe that your motion in the DPC was separate to that proposed referendum, why don't you spend more time in communicating with the student body to gain the students' best interests at heart? For example, using polls or another referendum for your new proposed system.
So because of this, because of the type of proposal, and because it was just a rename of a role, I'd say that DPC was an appropriate forum for that to go through, because if something should go to referendum, if it's a radical scale, like complete overturn of the structure, whereas the UD motion wasn't, it was a small reframe.
Before the questions went to the public, the scrutiny panel then asked James if he had anything else to say. This was his response.
Yeah, it's just a kind of comment more than anything, in that, like, I'm very happy to, as I responded when I got the invite to this, like, happy to be scrutinised and happy to say, yeah, I'd put that UD motion forward, and I think it was the right thing to do. I don't think, as I said before, it was a bit of the referendum implanted, and when you look at it closer, it's distinct. And I just wanted to highlight that, I guess, and not claim, again, so that it's more just a reframing of some stuff. I think it's been said that I've just done something, but I made the proposal.
Then handed to the rest of the students at the meeting.
Just out of curiosity, how much money has been spent on this whole review with the consultants and the external agencies and everything?
I can give you a figure off the top of my head. Not because that sounded like I was saying loads. I don't know off the top of my head. But the insight that's been done, the modelling that's been done, the progress that's been made so far, well, the thing we presented at the end of that wasn't what students wanted. That doesn't mean the work has been gone to waste. That means we can do more input to build on that. So it's not like we've done this thing and we're just going to ignore it. We got the proposal wrong, not because the students who told us what they wanted were wrong in that insight. So I don't know the figure, but it's not been wasted, so to speak.
So if you knew that you were going to propose these motions, but they were different to the ones that were going to come out if the referendum had passed, why was no... why was nothing put out to the student body acknowledging this and stating that it was different?
Yeah, so the motions were available. So the UD motion specifically was available and was submitted 2 weeks prior, etc. So it was visible. I think, again, the referendum started to go wrong.
Yeah.
And that just took all my attention.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy to pull my hands up that I dropped everything else and was like, I need to try this. Give all my time to that. So.
So just to clarify, do you agree that your manifesto in the proposed role is just basically the same as a current president role but with a different title to it?
It's fairly similar. I guess. But I think the reframing of the role has, so a lot of the problems you get from the president, a lot of the problems that are identified are problems that come from the perception of the role. I get invited to everything, that kind of stuff. There's an implicit hierarchy, etc., etc. The actual reframing of that does have material changes. There's material outcomes from that that you don't need to change the description of the role. And if you look at the motion, which I have been wanting to look at afterwards, I changed the word president to union development throughout the Bibles. Like, there's no change of job description. And that reframing is helpful, as it proved elsewhere.
Current SU officers also had their questions for Feezy, including Community Officer Jacob Collier, who is an outspoken member of the No campaign during the referendum.
Can I ask why the whole full-time officer committee was not informed of your decision to take this to the DPC?
The union development motion I've spoken about throughout the entire process that I will.
So there was also the Liberation Officer motion that you proposed originally, albeit withdrew, but you were going to propose that?
I believe in discussions the committee had, we discussed that we view Liberation as important and needing a full-time officer role, but I did withdraw that motion.
Would the President agree with me that the democratic review model was confusing, and so officers that had particular constituencies may not have been able to fully engage with the process?
I think anyone who was uninitiated could be confused by it. I'm not sure there were the opportunities for any officers to become initiated with it and engage at the level they would like to engage.
Within the Liberation Officer motion, there is the change from equal opportunities and welfare to wellbeing and welfare officer. What consultation did you do with the Welfare Network and with the Equal Opportunities and Welfare Officer before you submitted that motion?
I want to reiterate that I didn't put that motion forward, that we didn't discuss that motion. I'm not sure it's appropriate to hold me accountable on that.
You authored it, though?
I didn't author it.
Who authored it?
Cassie authored the motion.
So you had no involvement in that particular motion?
No.
With Cassie?
I submitted it under my name, and I withdrew it because I wasn't 100% confident in its content, which I relate to the fact that it wasn't authored.
Well, if it was submitted in your name, surely you would have seen it before it was submitted. You can't kind of blindly submit an email. That's not possible. So you must have known what was happening.
I didn't read the motion before it was submitted in my name because Cassie submitted the motion via her email on my behalf.
Just a reminder, can we keep questions civil in tone, please, and not accusatory?
Basically, what I did at the beginning of the year is set down for all my policies down on a piece of paper and put actions for all of them, and I'm working on actions for all of them. So I think I'm fairly happy with the amount of progress I've made on policies compared with other presidents and other officers on their policies.
Do you care about the perceptions of the students?
Yeah.
Why are you unsure of answering that?
Sorry?
Why are you unsure in answering that?
Because it's a vague question, but yeah, like...
Do you understand why I've asked it?
I assume for the same reason we're all sat here. Like, there's some disconnect, clearly. I do care about perception in the sense that I believe I'm doing what is in the best interest of students. If students aren't seeing that, then there's a problem there, but...
Thank you.
You face a lot of criticism around your communication, transparency, authenticity, and the list goes on with this room.
But without sidestepping off the league in which you are very tough, what are you actively going to do between now and end of term to actually change a thing which I think you mentioned tonight and that which we could hold you to account by the minutes?
So, first thing, I want to challenge the comment on authenticity. I don't think that's true. My communication is poor. I'm happy to stand by what I say, because I say what I mean, which people don't like sometimes, but I'm happy with that. What I wrote down is when the comment was made earlier about communication has been raised before and it doesn't look like I've done much. I literally wrote down to use some of the development funds I have for myself as an officer, so we get like a pot of £500 that kind of goes on top of the rest of our training that we can spend on whatever we want. I intend to spend some of that on something about communication. So some tangible thing that I can say. If that doesn't make you good at communication, at least I tried. But yeah, that's the intent.
Just for the purpose of accountability, and by which point do you expect to attend a communication session?
Attend, I don't know. Sign up for the Scrutiny panel after next, because the next one's in 2 weeks.
So between now and your end of term, in what capacity do you look to act?
The comment from the previous scrutiny panel talking about me acting as a union development officer, I don't think that's a problem on the understanding of the union development officer, that's the president. That would be a problem if it was acting as a union development officer per this different... my focus this year, because of the Democratic Review, has been on the democratic governance. That has been the important thing for me to do to develop the union as the president of the union, and I'm quite happy to defend that what I have done this year so far has been acting in as per my job description, though my job description is awfully vague. I can intend to continue acting as per my job description now, which is the president slash union development officer style thing that we already have.
Just to avoid confusion, you've said that all the money that's been invested into has technically been an investment and it will be long term.
Yeah.
And we've agreed that you've just changed your presidency, like job title to union development officer. But you've also spoken about still changing the current structure to something more in line with the democratic review that didn't go through. But now that you've changed your union development officer, do you not think, like change the job title, do you not think it's going to create more confusion further along when you then change the job role as well? But keep the same job title.
I can see where the concern would come from. One of the problems we had around that role generally is the name, not in the democratic proposed models, but in the scoping before about us communicating job descriptions, which I know is something Red Dev have worked on this year to make them better than they've been before, and there's still work to continue there. So, yeah, I could understand that changing things like can cause more confusion.
Yeah.
But I'm also comfortable that we need the system we've got to at least work until we or the future officers pose something else.
As we have clearly seen, there is a disconnect and an obfuscation of the ideology and thinking of and meetings of the student union and the student body. Do you agree to, and do you feel that better use can be made of student resources such as the Radio Network, the Impact Magazine, and other societies who can readily hand this information and increase your communication? We are here, you have not made the correct use of us, you could do so in the remainder of your term. Do you agree to that?
What I want to say is that I did. So one of the things that I'm quite keen on is that our student-run services are services that that we allow students to deliver. One of the things I did was meet with the media group presidents and managers, etc., multiple times before the Democratic Review to ensure that, and made it very clear that I'm here as a resource if they want me and trying to push things through them. So I'm comfortable that I've started doing that.
I suppose, again, I'm probably not wording it very well. I'm not saying you haven't started that at all. I think there are other avenues that weren't looked at that we can provide, and I know if you're making yourself available, that's great. If you could come to us, we will then provide you a better platform.
Yes.
And I think that's where a lot of the disconnect comes to students, is they feel that they are reaching out to you and we need the SU as a whole to come to us.
So I don't know if I said that properly.
Not just,
that's,
yeah.
What I did, I went to the presidents of the media groups and asked them what they could do for the review.
Sure.
As to how that fed down,
that's
I don't
fine.
Know, but,
yeah.
But and I intend to continue to do that.
So obviously with the referendum receiving a very slim amount of the general student body in terms of actual votes, so it's 1,344 out of the, well, it was estimated last year, 34,670 students, obviously more now. And the confusion around that, the confusion around students' perception of what the referendum was even for, how can you ensure that students are going to partake in democracy when it comes to the upcoming SU elections if they don't even know what roles they're going to be voting for?
So the referendum turnout
mm-hmm.
is low when you compare it to the student body,
yeah.
but it's high when you compare it to the other referendums we've done.
But it's still not great.
No, I agree. And our referendum our election turnout isn't great either. It's
mm-hmm.
good, but it's not great. That was one of the things we were attempting to address as a symptom of our democratic structures.
So you don't think that it's going to lead to student disillusionment with their own SU in terms of when it comes to voting?
I don't know. It could annoy a lot of students, so they run for it. I don't have the information to say either way. All we can do is keep pushing and promoting it.
So you don't know how this is going to affect student democracy, really? In terms of like the actual vote, you're not sure if it will increase it or not?
I don't know whether the vote number will change, but that's I'm not sure I would have been able to predict that. Whether it passed or whether it hadn't even done it at all.
How would you go about trying to boost turnout for any future referendums? Because obviously the backlash from what's happened already, people don't trust that their voices will be listened to in a referendum that they will come off to it.
So there's definitely a piece of work to do around going back to the communication thing, making it clear that the referendum result was taken seriously, and I'm hoping when the next stage of the review, which is going out to those people who voted and finding out what they didn't like and taking that on board, makes it clear that we're going back to those people and taking what they didn't like on board. I think if we look at other unions that are getting high turnouts, that are getting people engaged in union-led initiatives, then we can take some lead from that. But I am pleased that we got quite a high turnout in this referendum compared to our previous ones, but there's much more we can learn.